I'd be able to run, but as soon as I'd stop, like I get a metallic taste in my mouth, I'd want to vomit, I feel like I'm going to pass out. All these things were coming in, closing, shutting my body down, but then the doctors would have no idea what's happening.
You must be one tough guy. You're able to survive this, but unfortunately with survival comes the ramifications.
I'm certainly glad you're still here. Jim, this is one of the more harrowing stories we've heard, I think, here on Best Case, Worst Case.
Definitely.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello and welcome to Best Case, Worst Case. This is Jim Clementi, retired FBI profiler, former New York City prosecutor, and executive producer of Fox's new America's Most Wanted. And with me today is...
Hi, everybody. It's Francie Hakes, former state and federal prosecutor, senior producer on America's Most Wanted. Jim, we are back with our very special guest who told us an incredible tale last week. I'm so excited he's back to tell us the rest, and he is...
Phil Menendez. I'm a retired sergeant with the San Luis City Police Department.
Well, Phil, you were telling us an incredible story last week about doing a search warrant at a marijuana grow in St. Louis. Jim, I can't wait to hear it in. So I think we should just jump right back in. What do you think?
Yep, let's do it. Phil?
My body was in so much pain and just weirdness that...
Wow. Well,
that's just terrible, Phil. So did you have to check into the hospital, I assume, or what happened?
I was there for about, I'd say, probably a full 24 hours until my body started. I was able to, you know, urinate, start getting my body fluids flowing again to my, you know, to my enzyme levels finally came down. I mean, before they
24
were
hours. Seems like nothing compared to what you just went through. I mean, I was
like
surprised you didn't say 3 months. I mean, if you have electricity burning through your muscles, destroying them to the point where you have all these enzymes coursing through your body now. I mean, that's like, I mean, you know, getting in the ring with Tyson and Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier and Joe Lewis and getting the shit beat out of you and then just saying, oh, I'm not going to the hospital.
Yeah, I just figured at that time too, I had a job, had to be done, had to finish it. Wasn't
that
trying
is a
to
cop
be,
attitude. Like
a, I was just looking at it as a job.
Wow.
Jeez, Phil. I mean, I cannot believe that you go through that and all you want to do is get out of the hospital and go back to work. That is such a cop attitude that I mean, what about permanent damage? I mean, all that electricity in a ball running through you, jacking up your enzymes like that, as if all your muscles are torn, which I assume they kind of were. What's that sort of a long-term effect of that?
Well, they don't know. And that was the frustration and the frustrating part about it.
Because no one has ever survived something like this before.
Probably.
And that's what the doctor said. And if I wanted to know more, it'd be through an autopsy because they've never, I mean, I had like 3-4 MRIs. I had all these other things. So it shows everything functioning, but the nerves were messed up. So they didn't have anything, you know, to read the nerves. And I used to go to, let's say, like Washington University, you know, the best hospitals here in St. Louis. And I would tell the neurologist, hey, you're a neurologist. You could poke me, probe me, do what you got to do, but I need to get better. Fix me. You know, I was like, if you were a drug dealer and someone said, hey, Jim's the biggest drug dealer there is, but you can't catch him. You know, I would become, since that was my job, like part of Jim, part of every day he does, I'd be there day and night where I guarantee if Jim sold drugs, I would be able to get him at the end, you know, no matter how long the investigation went. So that's how I felt with the neurologist. So I was like, do something to help me.
Right.
But they couldn't do anything. And at that time, the department, you know, once you're out the door, or if you're not there, if you're sick, injured, you're kind of forgotten about a little bit. So there's other things that develop, you know, behind the four walls of a house with a family and everything. When you're not on the job, heck, I called the doctor. I was like, what is wrong with me? I was literally sleeping for 24 hours without any medication or anything. And they just said, hey, your body just got fried and it's trying to recuperate. You're going to sleep for a while. So I was off for about a month and I forced myself back mentally, because that's really all I knew at 18 years old. I was on the police force, and wow, that's what kept me going. So I wanted to get back to work to get my head back.
Unbelievable.
So I forced myself back, and then later I had complications with my nerves where I described to people, it's almost like, you know how an octopus, when they say sprays that black ink, I guess when it gets scared or something, goes a different way, yeah, and it puts the black ink. Well, my outside looked normal. And it looked like I was in good shape, that there was nothing wrong. And I wasn't, you know, you don't want to tell people I'm really messed up. So you just put on the smile, say it's okay. But when I went to work, at this time I'm promoted to sergeant. I have my own people and specialized units on the south side or north side for guns and drugs. And we just got to run wherever we wanted. Well, I took these kids I handpicked, and I wanted to teach them on the career I had was just an exceptional career. I had probably one of the better careers anyone could ever ask for, with great mentors, people who taught me, great leaders, supervisors, you know, and just the older guys who took me under their wings, the attorneys, the federal side, the state side. So I wanted to teach them that if you just get a car stop with some narcotics, that we could go back to his house, get consents, teach him how to interview. Well, every time like my adrenaline would go during interviews, I'd get like that black ink. You see a car in front of you, possibly wanted for a homicide or a robbery, has all the right letters on the plate except for the last one, and your adrenaline goes, and then it's like, oh, it's not it. But then there's more black ink in me. And, you know, just teaching these guys to do interviews, and when the interviews go great, it's just a great feeling. Or you chase someone, or they chase someone, you find drugs in a house, or you get a gun that you're looking for. That's all in it, like adrenaline that would be just making my insides so black that I would finally crash, right? Fall asleep at a stop sign, like my body would, and I didn't even know it, because my body's like, okay, you had enough, that it would shut my body up.
Wow.
Wow. But, so, I mean, now, that's been how many years since that happened?
2007.
And you, is that why you ended up having to retire from the police department?
I did. So that would happen. I'd take a month off and my body would feel great again. Then I'd go back, pretty much repeat the cycle. And within 4 months, my body would quit again. So I'd take a month off. I tried again and I told my doctors, I need to go back. Then the third time, the department's like, hey, it's more of a safety issue for everybody involved. That,
well, yeah, if you're going to, you know, if your body's just going to shut down, you can't, what if you're in a dangerous situation? You can't defend yourself or anyone else.
Yeah, there's times like I had chased someone and was able to get the cuffs on, and my partner was there, and all the supervisors were there at the time. My body would start, like, I'd be able to run, but as soon as I'd stop, like I get a metallic taste in my mouth, I'd want to vomit, I feel like I'm going to pass out. All these things were coming in, closing, shutting my body down. But then the doctors would have no idea what's happening to me.
Wow.
Well, you became
terrible
Iron Man, and they didn't know how to deal with Iron Man.
Yeah, obviously not. I'm shocked you don't shoot electricity out of your hands and fingers.
He probably does, Francie. Eyes. Watch out. Watch out, Francie.
Well, right. I'm glad we're not in the same town. Yeah.
Yes.
So when is it that you finally realized that you were just going to have to retire because of this terrible electrocution in 2007?
It was about 2011. I finally retired.
My God, but you persisted for years, Phil.
I did. I mean, I'd go back today if I was able to, but you know, my nerves. So after I left though, without what I was doing as a police officer, I get some, I'm in construction. So if I do like demo day or something, my body could wear out, but it's nothing on the, I was getting shots with needles like this long. They put it through my shoulder just to get that nerve in the center of my neck. And after I got it, my body be warm and fuzzy for a couple of seconds, but all the pain would go away. Like when the doctors had said, hey, there's a pain scale here. And I don't think you're at the 7 or 8 or 9 when they said, when I finally went to a pain management doctor, because I would say it's an 8. And they're like, well, I don't think it is. I'm like, I'm here because I'm pretty much vomiting. The pain is so overwhelming in my body. And then the only thing they knew how to do was they give me the shots, which they said I could only do probably 3 years. They don't know what it does, but I was up to like 5 or 6. They would give me Cymbalta, 150 milligrams, like to numb my body, and that would put me off on a whole separate, that could be a whole separate show on why people are addicted to pharmaceutical drugs. I winked myself off my own. I just locked the door of the bedroom for a weekend, and my doctor was mad. You know, he's like, you could have killed yourself. I'm like, I told you people, I don't want any kind of drugs that changes the state of my mind. So I got off all that, but.
I can't believe all that you've been through was just for a grow house, for God's sake, for a search warrant at a marijuana grow. I mean, that's just shocking. I mean, it's just terrible.
Shocking. Really? You're going to use shocking? Sorry. Come on.
I did that on purpose. Just kidding. Uh-huh. I think that's terrible, Phil. So are you still feeling the effects of that, you know, today, 15 years later?
I do feel it. And I still take a drug called Lyrica, which tells your nerves everything's okay. Even if they're a little bit out of whack, but it's nowhere on the scales of when I was on the department though. So,
wow!
Can't complain. Well,
I'm glad you've at least improved, and I'm certainly glad you're still here, Jim. This is one of the more harrowing stories we've heard, I think, here on Best Case, Worst Case.
Definitely. I'm sorry that you went through that and are still going through that. I don't know how, you know, your body handled it. In other words, you know, like the doctor said, mostly they learn about these things through autopsies because people don't survive it. So you must be one tough guy, you know, you're able to survive this, but unfortunately with survival comes, you know, the ramifications, the downstream ramifications. I know a little bit about that because, you know, I've had a bone marrow transplant and I did have 3 cardiac arrests. So I did get shocked 3 times. I wasn't aware of it at the time. That was on purpose. Yeah, I know. But I do know that, you know, even with that, there are resultant effects, you know. But you're a hero for doing what you did and for being able to still work. finish your administrative duties. You know,
just doing my job. And, you know, I would ask God questions every day, pray like, why, you know, why did this happen? You know, for the grace of God is why I'm here today still. You know, I'd get angry because the only way I wanted to leave law enforcement was at 65 years old. Like I've seen so many of my people, friends who I respect retire, you know, with 37, 38 years on, or they just say it in the line of duty, but because that was the only way. And apparently I kind of did, but God said, hey, there's another purpose. So I'm not taking you fully out, but you got a mission that I have to be doing. I figured it out, and I'll say a little bit at the end about it, but going through things, it was tough. It was a crazy journey, and I tried to do it by myself without the help of doctors and that, because I wasn't getting the help through my department. And then eventually later, I came about and much stronger in who I am today because of all this.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Well, I think your continuing purpose is the 3 and the 7-year-old that you had at the time.
Yes. And now they are 21 and 19 or 18. Wow. One graduated Vianney high school here in St. Louis, and he starts infantry September 21st for the Army. And my oldest, awesome, who's 21, he just graduated infantry school and he is off to airborne school. So.
Wow. Well, that's great.
Service-minded men in your family, Phil. That's incredible. Thank you for your service and, of course, for theirs. Wow.
Yes,
well, ma'am. Well, I mean, generally, when we get to this part of the show, we ask whether this is a best case or a worst case scenario for you. I don't know if you want to answer that, but if you do, that's great. But you said you sort of found a higher purpose or a reason for being here. So why don't you answer that question if you want or not, and tell us what that is.
For sure. Well, I guess if I was to say it was the worst case, would be from the time that my life changed, from the time I put that knife in that wire. Once it crossed that rubber part and I actually grabbed that wire itself, I could never go back prior to that or feel how I felt prior to that day. And that just stands out so clear in my mind all the time. And I used to get mad about it. I had so many just anger days and just didn't know, you know. And plus I left the job that I love and I couldn't go back. Like, I'd go back still right now. You could even knock me down to a probationary police officer. I jump in the police car, get on the front lines with all those guys.
Yeah.
It kills me sitting on the sidelines watching what's going on, especially with the lack of leadership that we have, you know, in our department, our city, our country. That's just how I feel as a law enforcement officer. It kills me to see it's not a career no more. People are leaving, and they have so many great police officers that are leaving the job at an early, way, way before their time, just on how they're being treated. And I don't like that part. So that was the worst case day in my life on that. Okay. But then it turns out to be the best case is I'm in a part now in my life where I have been able to reach other officers, younger and older, who have either been shot in the line of duty, somehow injured through car accidents, or even, you know, some other where it forced them off the job and it put them in a spot where they almost died themselves. And they have certain things that go through their mind and they think like they're lonely, the only one out there. They get these feelings. I've had all these feelings, the darkest feelings actually, where I wanted to leave. I didn't want to be here with all of us anymore. But the reason why I did, because I had 2 kids at home. And it wasn't like a cop out. It was because my body was hurt. You know, it needed somewhere else to go. It was just like a shell that I was living every day and I wasn't getting the help. I had sad days. Again, my anger days were more just unexplained days that I couldn't tell people what was really going on in my body, because even I didn't know. But I had I worked with this on my own. Until later, I did get this incredible doctor who, he would tell me, like, PTSD, and I never believed in that word. Actually thought it was a coward word. It was just something. It's like, hey, put a smile on your face. You know, you got 24 hours to be sad, whatever. Put a smile on your face and get out there and do your job. And I used to say that all the time in the mirror, but the problem is once I crossed the threshold, everything inside would just, you know, my body was wore out. And it goes back to what I was saying, where my adrenaline would go. Something would trigger, and they say it's like a small little area inside your brain where I learned to deal with it later, but that's what physically broke my body down. When all this adrenaline would kick in, certain things would trigger it. Heck, it even triggers it now when I'm on job sites, when I see electric. I don't even have to see electric. The hair on my arm and my body stands up, you know, I'm like, there's something. Oh, there it is. But I learned how to deal with it. And I learned what this is. It's almost like the way my doctor had to finally explain it to me. He said, hey, we're playing catch, like me and you, Francie, and the ball goes under the bush because you missed it. You go and pick it up and you're afraid of snakes or they just start you. Well, there's a garden hose there, and that you go pick the ball up and your body like locks up for a second and you couldn't control that. It just happened because something triggered it, which was that hose.
Right.
That's how things would trigger in my body, which would cause maybe physical stuff to, you know, deteriorate and stuff, which would cause me to lose the job. So when I would talk to these officers and they find out that I got electrocuted, they got shot, or they were in a car accident, you know, and almost ended, you know, almost lost their life. We all have different injuries, but all of us had, and I guarantee if I talk to a soldier, I've talked to other people where we all have those same thoughts that go through our heads, you know, and everyone thinks like they're just alone or they don't know. So when I start talking to these guys, it helps me out because I get to talk and it feels really good, you know, and it gets me going again. It helps me. And then I see I help these guys out. Where if I was never electrocuted, I'd be one of the guys on the sideline like, hey, how you feeling? But not really knowing how they're feeling. So They kind of know my reputation I had on the police department as a working police officer. And then I would go to them and say, hey, I've had the same. Or I even tell them, I'm going to tell you what I feel. You don't have to tell me what you feel yet. Just I'm going to tell you my experience. And then I would talk about it. And they'd be like, wow, that's the same stuff that I'm going through. So that would be my great case, is that I'm out there that I could actually talk to other officers or even soldiers or someone, you know, that is involved and have a lot of unknown or not getting the help that hopefully, since I've been there and lived it, that I could also help those guys out and get their families involved. Because a lot of this I did myself and I wouldn't allow my family to be involved in this, which on the other side wasn't right, because, you know, my wife and the kids didn't know what was going on. So because I wouldn't share it with them, because I'd keep it all locked in, because I didn't think other people would have to burden them with my problems or what I have going on. Until I later had this great doctor who ended up passing, which we actually became really good friends. And he just knew how to talk to me and he knew how to listen.
Wow. That's amazing. That's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, Phil, I mean, it's incredible that you took something so, you know, horrific in your own life and are now using it to help other people. And certainly, Jim and I want to encourage anyone out there who has thoughts like this, any issues, need someone to talk to, reach out for help. There are all kinds of hotlines and helplines now for veterans, for cops who are struggling, for teens, all kinds of helplines that you can reach out for. And we certainly recommend that they do that, don't we, Jim?
Yeah, definitely. And I'll point you towards the Brain Treatment Center. It's out here in LA. I think it's in San Diego. And I went through that, and they have a program for former military, but I think they also accept law enforcement as well, but who are going through PTSD, and they literally sort of reset your brain, recalibrate it. And it got me sleeping at night. It got me, you know, it got me, it actually corrected my vision. You know, I had been wearing glasses for 20 something years, and now I don't wear glasses anymore. It literally corrected my vision because it allowed my brain to do the work it should be doing. So I'll get you that information if you want to look into that as well.
Yeah, but thanks, Phil. Thank you for coming on and talking about this and telling us about this incredible tale of electrocution and retirement and sort of heartbreak. And then now I would say just uplifting hope. I and just think it's peace, incredible, yeah. Your journey. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I have one more. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to take one more little tidbit on my journey that when I was looking for help and couldn't find any, of course, my mom, you know, the person she is and caring person she is, she was at her house doing her own homework on how could she help me. Well, she found this author, his last name Banyan, and he was struck by lightning. And he was on the telephone. He was a Marine. He came home. He was struck by lightning on the phone. It, you know, went through the line. And he actually, that electric went out part of his body. He died. He said he hovered over himself in the EMS, in the, you know, ambulance. He was on the morgue. He woke up and he had the toe thing, the name thing on his toe in the hospital.
Oh, my God. Worst nightmare. Oh, my God.
So, but he actually got some powers, kind of, where he was helping veterans. He could, I don't know, he's saying lead them over to the other side. You know, he went to hospice and helped them relax and, you know, stay with them just because he was in that same situation or came back.
Wow.
So he was writing a book, and my mom sent an email to him, and because he would come out and do, he would charge hundreds of dollars, like an hour, just to do speeches, or you go come out and do talks. Well, my mom had emailed him and said, what happened to me? And his wife immediately called my mom back and said, you know what? My husband had talked to your son. And my mom's like, okay, just tell us how much. We'll pay whatever. She goes, nope, tell him be by the phone in a half an hour and he'll call. So she came over and she told me, and I answered the phone. And it was the first time I had a legal pad next to my bed. When I had other things that was going on in my body, I jotted down. So I thought I was crazy. I'm like, oh, now it's something new. Did it happen before? Or, you know, but I'd always keep a list. I talked to this gentleman, and if I had 10 things written in my notebook, without telling him, he had the same 10 things that he told me before I even told him, from the metallic taste.
Oh, my God.
And everything else that was going on with me. So it was the first time ever since I was electrocuted that I didn't feel like I was crazy, that this person who was struck by lightning, pretty much had electric going through his body, had the same everything that I was going through during my journey. That
amazing. What an amazing story.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Phil. I mean, this has been one of my favorite episodes, Jim.
Absolutely. Definitely our most unique. This is really crazy, but I'm glad that you are finding more peace today. And I hope that you have, you know, you're completely pain-free at some point, and that everything that you went through will have been, you know, worth something. You know, it's great that you can help other people. That's an awesome thing. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you giving me this chance. And yeah, as I sit on the couch now and watch what's going on, especially with the riots and everything, and the lack of leadership, and these officers, their hands are tied. They can't talk. They can't, or they're going to be in trouble themselves. So I figure, yeah, I own my own company. And whether that, even as a police officer, politics didn't play a role. If they put me in the worst neighborhood, walking the beat, I loved it. So they could never hurt me, really. You know, so take me out of a specialized unit if I want to speak up for doing the right thing for others. So now what I like to do too, I also like to speak up for the police officers that call it as is out there, you know, and hold these commanders and just the politicians accountable for what they're doing wrong for these officers.
It sounds to me like you've made an awful lot of your post-law enforcement career too.
I'm trying.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your story with us, and you know, we have so much hope for you and your future. And we want to thank you for not only talking to us, but to our listeners and viewers. And hopefully we'll have you come back and tell us some other stories about your illustrious career in law enforcement.
That's right.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, till next time, to our listeners and viewers, thank you for listening and watching. Signing off for Best Case, Worst Case.
Best Case, Worst Case is an XG production produced by Francie Hakes, Josh Murphy, and Jim Clementi at Empire Studios LA. Engineered and edited by Matt Gerbel. Music composed and performed by Simba Tsumba and hosted by Wondery.
You can listen to Best Case, Worst Case on your favorite listening app. We are on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you want to do something about child sexual abuse, Darkness Delight can help. Did you know that more than 90% of the time children are sexually abused by someone they know?
Jim, this isn't about stranger danger. It's about learning the true risks. Darkness to Light's training can help prevent, recognize, and react to child sexual abuse in your community.
When you make the decision to get involved, kids can be protected. It starts with you.
Visit www.d2l.org to take the training and learn more.
That's d2l.org.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.